Romans chapter 6, verses 5 to 11. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ.
Amen to the truth of God's word. You may be seated. I know Brother Chris has already prayed for us this morning, but as we open up God's word, I want to invite you again to pray. Not just to listen to someone pray, but to you to actively pray for God's word to be active in your life as you are a humble listener to it. And then in just a moment, I will draw us back together again to pray together. So would you pray? Father God, I pray in these moments now that I would say nothing more or nothing less than the truth of your word. And I thank you that the truth of your word is sufficient for us today. I thank you that we don't need to finish here and then go look for more truth somewhere else. I thank you that at the end of listening to your word, we don't need to compare it to something else. That we don't need to hear from you a new revelation. This is what we need today, and it is all we need today. And I pray in truth of that, we would listen to it then. It would shape us today. In Jesus' name I pray these things, and God's people say, amen. Amen. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 5. As we begin thinking through this passage, there's a common storytelling technique where you have the main character of the story not know who they are until a key point in the story. So classic example of this, Star Wars. Some of you might fight me that Star Wars is a classic, but we can argue about that one later, okay? But if you're familiar with Star Wars, there's a line in the movie of Star Wars that reveals to the main character who they are. Now, because of my name is Luke, I knew of this key line years before I ever watched the movie Star Wars. People would see my name on a name tag while I was working, or I'd introduce myself as Luke, and over again, I'd hear this line like, oh, you mean like Luke, as in Luke, I am your father. I have a horrible Darth Vader voice. I know that, okay? I wasn't even going to try towards that. But if you're familiar with the movie, if you're not familiar with the movie, sorry, major spoiler alert, too late there, okay? But at that point in the movie, the main character finally, after like 18 years of life and almost two full movies, realizes who their father is, understands their childhood finally, and at what point finally understands their power. Up until that point, they had no clue who they really were. Now, I started with that because in our passage in Romans 6, it makes a statement in verse number 6 and verse number 8, and it makes a statement that you, Christian, know something. It actually assumes it. In studying it this week, I was kind of taken back that it does assume it because Paul's writing to some people. He doesn't even know at the Church of Rome yet. And he says, we know this about ourselves. And then in verse number 8 it says, and we know this about ourselves. But when I look at the two truths he mentions, I'm not actually convinced we do know who we really are in Christ, Christian. I'm not convinced we do know who we are yet. And because we don't know who we are in Christ, we set ourselves up for struggle in our spiritual walk, for pride, despair, idolatry, and so much more. So very simply, I'm asking a question this morning. Christian, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you actually know who you are? Now, last week in Romans 6, the bulletin said that we covered verses 1 through 4. I joked with some of the team on Tuesday afternoon in our meeting that I actually last Sunday preached verse 1, 2, 11, a little bit of 3, and I sprinkled in verse number 6 for a little bit at the end. And that was not a mistake, because I was charting one theme through this passage, and that theme was the phrase dead to sin from verse number 2. This Sunday, we're going to really look at some of the exact same verses as we did last Sunday, but we're looking at another theme, another truth seen in Scripture, and that is our union with Christ. Now, if you look at verse number 5, it makes the statement of our truth, of our union with Christ, and it gives us our two points for this morning. For if we have been united with him, that would be, if we've been united with Jesus Christ in a death like his, and then it flips it around, then we shall certainly be, there's our phrase again, united with him in a resurrection like his. I don't know how long ago it was. I preached an entire sermon on simply the union with Christ from the book of Ephesians, the whole book. Some of you who weren't there, you're like, that sounds like a really long sermon, Pastor, a whole book. It wasn't. If you walk through the New Testament, there's this truth that you and I, Christian, in some way have been united with Jesus Christ. This is about our identity. Do you know who you are in Christ? Now, if you look at verse number 5, I need to make a distinction, even as we begin, before I give you two points here. Look at verse number 5, because it makes a statement, we have been, past tense, this is something that's already been done, it's at salvation. We have been united with Christ. Now that right there is that union with Christ. Now Ephesians, Romans, and other places all over the New Testament, when they describe being united with Christ, they're not going to say you're with Christ. They'll actually make the statement you are in Christ. Like verse number 3 does it. We are baptized into Christ. Now I stress this from the very beginning. I stress that there is a massive difference from being with Christ to actually being in Christ. Because I think we can easily view ourselves as being with Christ. In Christ kind of makes our head hurt a little bit. And if we're being honest, I think there's a part of us that would actually prefer being simply with Jesus Christ and not being in Jesus Christ. Let me explain it this way. This summer, my family, way back in June, we made an epic road trip. We visited 7 states, 6 national parks over 2 weeks, all the way out to Idaho, circled all the way back in. Just, it was a glorious trip, super fun. Part of the reason we took it this year is that our country has a program that any fourth grader in the country, they fill out a little questionnaire, they get a free annual pass to every national park. And that it works for everybody that's in the vehicle with you, okay? And so Levi, our middle boy, he's in fourth grade, just finished up. I was like, Levi, glad to have you, kiddo. You're taking this test. And so we filled out the questionnaire, and we got the little flyer. We went to our first national park, Teddy Roosevelt in North Dakota. I was like, I wasn't even sure if it was going to work, because this sounds too good. Like, he answered like three questions, and we get a whole annual pass. And so I passed it over to the guy, and he was like, so is Levi in the car with you? And I rolled down the back window. I was like, yeah, he's right back there. And he's like, okay, well, Levi needs to sign a card. And then every national park we entered, I'd pass in that annual pass card with Levi's scribbled handwritten on there. And the park ranger would look at me and look at the card and like, well, is Levi with you? And I'd roll down the back window. I said, Levi, wave. And Levi would wave in the back. And he's like, okay, everyone gets in. Okay. I can understand with. And there is a whole bunch of Christians who simply view Christianity as I'm with Jesus Christ. And we actually kind of like it that way. Well, I'm with Jesus. He's in the car with me. And Jesus makes a great backseat driver for me. I mean, I'm going through life, and Jesus can speak up and said, I think we probably should have turned left back there. Probably would have gone better. And Jesus with me in the car can speak up from time to time and say, you know what, you probably should slow down just a hair, right? But if I'm with Jesus, in my mind, it still allows me to be driving the car. I'm on the steering wheel. Levi is with me in the car. I get into the park with Levi, but guess who still decides where we're stopping for dinner? Dad. Guess who still decides where we're going? Dad. And I'm scared that there's a whole bunch of Christians, when they think about Christianity and being saved in Jesus Christ, they simply think about, great, I'm with Jesus. He helps me along, and it's super great then, because, I mean, if I ever get into a problem, I can simply throw up my hands, and Jesus can take the wheel for me now. And someday, I can roll down the window and like, yeah, I'm with Jesus. Heaven's good. Christian, if you are truly saved in Christ, you are not with Jesus Christ. You are in Jesus Christ. And it's a massive distinction. Do you know who you even are, Christian? With Jesus allows me to keep my identity and my sense of control, and the fact that I get to make choices, being in Jesus Christ means that it's not my life anymore. Verse number 3, I'm baptized into Jesus Christ. Verse number 26, Romans 6, 23, free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8, 1, we're still in the book of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We can go to other books of the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. When we are in Christ Jesus, we are new creations. When we consider all these passages together, it's not simply that Jesus and me together make a great team. It's that I have died and I am now alive in Christ Jesus. And when I am in Christ Jesus, when I'm united with Christ, then Christ is now my security. Christ is now my hope. Christ is now my life, because I'm in Christ. United with Christ is the reality that at salvation, we are joined to Christ through faith, so that we are in Christ and yet we're distinct, but in Christ we enjoy the security that can only be found in Jesus Christ our Lord, and the identity that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Do you know who you are? You look at verse number 6, sorry, you look at Romans 6, This passage gives us two truths about what it means to be united with Christ, or because we're united with Christ, Christian, this is what's true in our life. And so as we approach communion in just a moment, can I remind you who you really are? Would you know that our union with Christ has brought our death? When I say, who are you, Christian? You say, I am in Christ, and it means that I have died. Verse number 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer will be enslaved to sin. So verse number 5 and now 6 makes us draw a line between Christ's death and something occurring in our life, Christian. Not like we literally died physically with Jesus Christ. That's why verse number 6 is really careful with its wording, because it says we've died in a manner like his. But we do experience a death in Jesus Christ. And verse number 6 draws this out. Jesus dies, and then this union with Christ means that our old self now is crucified. Okay, not anything being crucified is a sober picture. My old self, who I was before salvation, all that wrapped up Luke Love, who was born in sin, that old self, all the pride, all the blindness to the truth of God, all the rebellion against God, all of that identity, my old self is crucified. It's not just that my old self got old and tired and one day passed away in its sleep. And I woke up one day and thought, huh, I feel a little different now. My old self was crucified. In some way, Christian, we are able to look to the cross of Jesus Christ and not just see Jesus die for our sin, but we should also be able to look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see our own funeral. My old self had a point of death, and it was at the cross of Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, when we get to communion, my hope is it is not just simply looking back to a past moment and see, yes, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, but that I can look back to that cross and say something in me died there too. That was my funeral. I mentioned the classic Star Wars. Again, a little iffy if it's a classic, but it's a great thing, okay? True classic. Have you ever read the book Tom Sawyer? Tom Sawyer? Okay, I have to admit, I started that book like 3 times in the high school, in my middle school years. I never finished the book, okay? I feel like it was confession time to any of my old English lit professors. There's a part, though, in Tom Sawyer where Tom, the mischievous kid living next to the Mississippi River, runs away from home, makes a raft with a couple friends, gets on the river, and they're trying to run away from home down the Mississippi, and the raft crashes, just splintered it up. And the people from the town see the wreckage come ashore. They assume what's happened. They can't find Tom or his friends, and they just assume Tom's dead. Okay, I'm giving away a lot of great storylines right now, all this morning. Sorry, guys. Well, so they do what's natural. Tom's died. We need to have a funeral for Tom. And so they put together a funeral for Tom. And in the story, Tom walks back into town, and he can't find anybody. They're all at his funeral. And he literally walks into his own funeral. I watched a movie growing up of Tom Sawyer. In the movie, they depict it where Tom actually goes up into the attic of the church building, and he gets to watch his own funeral unpack. And so people come in, and they're crying, and I mean, he was a bad kid, but they, you know, every time at a funeral, no bad people die at funerals, right? I mean, everyone's good, okay? And so, of course, they're saying all the good things about Tom, and everyone's crying, his aunt's crying, the girl he likes is crying, and I'm going to miss him so much. And Tom literally leans over to his friends and says, I'm beginning to miss myself too. It's got to be kind of weird to watch your own funeral. Christian? When I see Jesus Christ die on the cross, when I read of it, when I consider it, the truth that's being hit here is that I had a funeral there too. I died. We know that our old self, that's me right there, was crucified with Jesus Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Because there is a union with Christ, because I am in Christ, there is part of me, my old self, that has died. Christian, you know what this means? Because of who you are in Christ, you can't actually look at your struggles with sin and say, well, that's just who I am, and throw up your hands in resignation like there's nothing you can do about it. Because that's not who you are. Your old self has died. And thoughts like that show us how much we really don't know who we are in Christ. Our old self has died in Christ. The verse continues on, so that, or in order that, it results in the body of sin being brought to nothing. Actually, three different ways, packed into two verses, it tells me, I am free from the power of sin. I'm free from the slavery of sin. This is massively encouraging, I hope. Do you know who you are in Christ? If you are in Christ, you are freed from sin. You have died to sin. It's encouraging. Because when I read commands in the Bible that tell me to flee temptation, to say no to the flesh, to abstain from all forms of evil, to love God, to forgive, all these action commandments about being holy and being Christ-like, Christian, we're not commanded to do the impossible here. We're not being called to break out of slavery. We've already been freed from sin. We are simply being called to live out what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. And this is a massive mind shift. If my boys were wrestling, not officially, I just mean like my living room floor becomes a wrestling match. And that happens a fair amount. So hypothetically saying, if my boys are wrestling and my oldest boy has my youngest boy, Lincoln, in just a chokehold, okay? I mean, he's whole body wrapped up. And I call Lincoln from another room to come to me. Okay. Lincoln has no ability to come in that moment. I don't care how much he wiggles, how much he cries. Logan's got that boy, okay? And Logan, there's muscle all through there, okay? I don't think he has any fat. It's just, it's all muscle. Lincoln's not getting out. I fear, Christian, that we read all these commands and scriptures about things we're supposed to do, say no to the flesh, flee temptation, and we picture that we are so intertwined and held down by Satan, we're like, this is impossible. And we spend some time reading God's word and we go away defeated saying, how can you tell me to do all these commands? I can't do any of this. Because we still picture that we are chained into sin. Christian, right here. Because you are in Christ, you're dead to your old self. We Which means if Lincoln's not wrestling with Logan, he's just laying on the couch and I say, come here. And he chooses not to come here. That's all on him. And Christian, that's what we do. You realize now, in light of this truth, my sin is not this hopeless, it couldn't be avoided. No, this is my willful choosing to walk back into the jail cell that Jesus Christ died to free me from. I read it said this way by one individual this week. God doesn't ask us to attain what we are not. He only calls us to accomplish what he has already accomplished in Jesus Christ. God does not ask us to reinvent ourselves. God does not ask us to be anything than what we already have been made in Jesus Christ. Do you even know who you are, Christian? Now, please understand me. This is where I wanted to say nothing more or nothing less than what Scripture says. I do not paint the picture of spiritual perfection. We will still choose not to come. There will be moments where we will still choose, even though we've been taken out of Satan's flock, we will still choose to listen to our old shepherd. We'll hear that voice, and out of habit and our pull in our hearts, we will walk that way. And yet, even in that moment, Christian, it is my union with Christ that gives me comfort. Because even in that moment of sin, I know that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. It is still my union with my Savior, Jesus Christ, that allows me, even when I have sinned, when I've been freed from it and still choose to hold on to it, to still have peace and comfort and still come confidently to my Savior, because it's never been my righteousness. I'm in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation now. Do you know who you are? Verse 8 and 9 flips it around. Now, if, or I think you can easily read it. Now, since we have died with Christ, then we believe that we will also live with Christ. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Pause for a second before we make the point for us Christians. If you read how verse 8 and 9 reads, if we've died with Christ, which means I can say emphatically, if you haven't died with Christ, then death still has dominion over you. There's a warning here. It's a massive truth of encouragement for us Christians, but there's a massive warning, because if the statement's not true of you, then I can't give you the promise that death no longer has dominion over you. If it is simply you being spiritual and somehow Jesus is kind of with you, but you're not in Jesus Christ, it's your life and you kind of hope Jesus kind of steers you a little bit. If you have not waved the flag and saying, this is not me now, I'm turning from my sin, I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ alone, I die in Christ's death. If that is not true, then death reigns in your life. You face the sober reality that the wages of your sin is death. Death spiritually, one day death physically, and for eternity death separated from God in hell. But Christian, if I have died in Christ, here's the beautiful flip side of it. Death no longer has dominion over me now. I also live in Jesus Christ. This is why Paul gets to say it this way a little bit later on in the book of Galatians. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ now who lives in me. Which it blows my mind now, because the whole time I've been saying, we are in Christ, we're in Christ, and now Paul flips around and said, actually, yeah, the union is so amazing that Christ is actually in me now. But the life that I live, Paul's saying, it's not my life now, because I have died and I now have a new life. Does that ring a bell at all from last week? We walk in a newness of life. What does this mean? It means death no longer has dominion over me. I will rise just like Jesus Christ rose. There will be a day, if Christ does not return soon, that my body will lie motionless somewhere on this earth. As a pastor, I've stood in my fair share of rooms where a doctor will come in and look at a screen and declare a point of death. And in that moment, it will look like death has won. But if I am alive in Christ, death has not had dominion over me. And 1 Thessalonians will tell me, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is because I'm in Christ. Do you know who you are? Not my story. I read another pastor share a story. He was counseling an individual, a Christian who for years had struggled. For him, his struggle was the temptation of homosexuality. And on this particular day, as the pastor was working with this individual, the Christian was very defeated, tired of fighting temptation, tired of fighting sin. And he finally just exasperatedly told the pastor, you know what, tonight who cares? I'm going to the bar. And he mentions the bar that was very much known for that lifestyle. And the pastor simply responded, I don't think you will, because that is not who you are. Christian, do you know who you are? And simply be who you are made in Jesus Christ. Because you are in Christ, you have died to sin. Your old self has been crucified. And you now have been given a brand new life in Jesus Christ. These are not things you're supposed to go accomplish this week. They were already all accomplished at the cross. Your to-do list this week is not, I need to somehow crucify my old self. That was dead. Your to-do list this week is not somehow I need to get life in Jesus Christ. There is no action point I can tell you to do that this week. That's already been done, Christian, if you're truly saved in Jesus Christ. Which is why we get to the same point we got to last week in verse number 11. What we're simply called to do then is consider yourself dead to sin. Take the truth of what Jesus Christ has already done in your life and believe that it is true. This is who I am. Do you know who you are? Let's pray. And so, Father God, we pray and we thank you for your word. And as we take very much our application now is to go to communion and consider this death, I pray we do it in light of the truth of what you have done, what you've done in us, and who we are now in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.